chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest my dab in the middle of it. Rest my dab in the middle. We are rest my dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off with a very, very important interview that Judy Mekovits had with Alex. And she explains that this whole vaccine program has been part of a eugenics program to reduce the world population. And they've been hiding it from us the whole time. But here we go with a very, very important Judy Mekovits report.
They've done this for 30 or 40 years. He could have stopped it in 92. So when he injected the military along with Deborah Birx with an experimental HIV shot that literally gave people HIV. It was this envelope protein. They now call it the spike protein. Yeah, that's what it was. So he's guilty of that. So he's getting a free ride because, you know, he's got a literal and figurative gun to his head, as he, you know, tells just enough to placate them and make them think it hasn't been happening for 40 years.
Next question, and elaborate on this, because you've been attacking him for over a decade and you've been dead on. But I agree with you, but how big a symbol is it that one of the main rats fled the ship? Elaborate, why is he doing this now? What's the gun to his head?
To let us think it hasn't been going on forever. To cover up the fact that not.
So he's all, so he's now officially, what I already said, what you said, he's now just moving it on to the next phase.
Right, correct. So he's covering up the fact that not a single shot has ever been tested. We've experimented. That's against federal law and the 1986 Act. That was supposed to be the Vaccine Injury Compensation Act. When Tony Fauci and Big Pharma went to then President Ronald Reagan and said vaccines are unavoidably unsafe because all the lawsuits were winning. And so Ronald Reagan said, make them safer. And Tony Fauci said, you can't.
All right. A few weeks ago, when Dr. Redfield, former head of the CDC, went public that we're still making such a big deal about because it can bring down the whole deep state. When he went public and said, look, it was cooked up in a lab. They covered it up. It's gain of function, all of that. I said, we got to get Dr. Judy Mekovits on the show ASAP. She's a major insider running a lot of these big programs, who exposed it more than a decade ago. There's been major films made about her story. She doesn't really need an introduction, but for new listeners who may not know who she is, especially I was on Steven Crowder today. He had a record large show with his new broadcast, millions and millions of viewers. He was very kind and told people to tune into my show today. So a lot of those folks are tuned in. Maybe they don't know who Dr. Judy Mekovits is. So I'd like her to recap her story, what she went through, what she witnessed, and then what does she make of all this news coming out that indeed the shots are poisonous, as she warned years ago, that indeed it does erase your immune system. It creates a autoimmune disorder similar to AIDS. They're calling it VADES. And where does she see this going? And then I want to tie it into the weaponization of the state against the people hearings the last 2 weeks. The surveillance of doctors and scientists, the censorship run by the White House against them, and this organized crime operation. And we'll tie it into all the other big news happening in the world today, because she's not just a scientist and an amazing lady with a lot of courage and an author. She is also somebody who's really smart about the general world. So I want to pick her brain about that as well. And we'll also, again, put her website on screen for everybody, and she's on Twitter at Dr. Judy A. Mekovits, and that's a Dr. Judy A. M-I-K-A-M-I-K-O-V-I-T-S, and therealdrjudy.com. So, Doc, thanks for joining us today. Wow, what would you call this moment in time we're in? What do you make of all the revelations? Total vindication for you and others. I know you don't want the vindication, but you were warning before this happened it was going to happen. We care about vindication because now people know we told the truth. Now we, I think, can expose people behind this, hopefully bring them to justice so they don't do it again.
Yeah, that's where we are, and it's really not vindication at all, because while I was held in jail as the really first political arrest by Fauci et al., as we know from our books, Plague of Corruption, in our last book, or our latest book, which published in 2021, called Ending Plague, A Scholar's Obligation in an Age of Corruption. It tells the whole story at every level of the government, how this has been going on for more than 40 years. So I was jailed as a felony fugitive from justice without so much as a parking ticket and arrest warrant on November 18, 2011. And the fugitive from justice was Tony Fauci's justice. And so over the next 5 years, while he held me silenced, and I'm not a CFS researcher, I'm a cancer and AIDS researcher, a drug developer. My PhD research solved HIV/AIDS. Our 2009 science paper solved CFS, showing the causes were the gain of function studies that have been done since 1980. So where Robert Redfield is full of it, and I say it like David Martin said it a few days ago. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and you'll know that he and Deborah Birx did a gain-of-function bioweapon in the 1990s for HIV, injected the military in this experimental program, caused myalgic encephalomyelitis, which is inflammation of the brain and muscle. And it wasn't HIV. It was another virus, another family of viruses that women and children were getting from a contaminated blood supply. Remember Arthur Ashe. Remember Ryan White. Remember, you know, for four decades, Fauci said women and children can't get HIV. You know, they don't have AIDS, therefore, because HIV causes AIDS. None of these viruses cause disease. It's the purposeful dysregulation, the purposeful causing of the strongest in our society, the strongest, the athletes who we all know, the injection, the mandates. They can't play their job. They can't play their sport. They can't do their job. This has been going on for four decades. We solved it then. We solved it with peptide T, with serum, and with ozone therapies.
Doctor, a lot of us aren't scientists like you are. So I remember my dad actually back in the 80s, because he was a doctor and researcher. He was saying all this same stuff. I know it was the literature even then. And then, of course, you were one of the top researchers that exposed it and really upset their apple cart. But what are these other viruses? What are they doing? And then what's COVID all about?
They're all in the database. They're all in, you know, they publish not only SARS-CoV-2, but dozens of viruses, hundreds in the viral monkey kidney cell line, which is a continuously growing manufacturing plant since the 1960s, that they've added all kinds of viruses. This is where we grow our polio vaccines. So they're injecting these animal, human, mouse, monkey, manufactured gain of function in every single polio shot since they created SARS-CoV-2 in 2004. The papers, Moore et al., in the Journal of Virology. You see Germany, you see China, you see Harvard. They don't release them. They shipped it around the world. When Tony Fauci couldn't do gain of function in Fort Detrick, he just prepared a little package of the cell lines with all the viruses, and they shipped them around the world. We all remember when they got caught with the MMR and the William Thompson confession from the CDC fraud. This was the Dell Bigtree, the vaxxed movie in 2014. You know, Fauci just simply shipped Ebola to Liberia and killed 21,000 innocent black people by way of a vaccine program. And they just continue to do it over and over again. And he got caught, and all we needed was a smart doctor who led this Christian missionary team to go help them. The book is called Called for Life in the Biblical Sense, and it's in our Get Healthy store, because unless we understand Called for Life, that you can cure, one smart doctor stopped that Ebola outbreak with hydroxychloroquine, saline infusions, and prayer, and now and then Tony Fauci and Obama took Dr. Kent Brantley back to the CDC, and they pretended like the magic antibody in from San Diego, the Regeneron cured everybody, and they just recycled it and called it COVID. And we know all of this, and they weaponized our entire defense industry in the age of Ronald Reagan, when they made everyone a contractor and not a principal investigator or scientist. So we were the weaponized hired guns, and this is the story we show in 2021, the leading cause of death of women of childbearing age was HIV/AIDS, spread through a contaminated blood supply and vaccines, and they never took it out. That's what Robert Redfield and Deborah Burke started with, their little gain of function. It was the J&J format, where they put the envelope of HIV in a vector, just like the J&J one.
And well, I want to be clear. I've said Redfield's a rat leaving a sinking ship, but I think it is right. Overall positive that he's admitting that COVID's man-made, and he's definitely got pressure on him to be doing something like that. I want to get your take on that when we come back, and then look at what you think they're going to do next. And obviously all this news, and we'll have the articles pulled up, the current ones, not the gold ones. We'll show those too, where ABC News, AP is reporting the new global polio outbreak is being caused by the vaccine. Bill Gates, yet again, they do it over and over and over again, and they get away with it. It's just simply insane. Dr. Judy Mikovits, stay right there. We'll be right back with you. Everybody should visit her website right now. It's amazing information. TheRealDrJudy.com. Find all of her shows, her writing, her books, the films. It's all there. TheRealDrJudy.com. And this platform, Infowars.com, having the real whistleblowers on. All right, Dr. Judy Mikovits is our guest. I'm Alex Jones, your host here out of Steven Crowder's amazing studios in Dallas, Texas. The crew is down in ATX in Austin, Texas. And doctor, you're an amazing individual, and your whole story is incredible, but you just threw out there they had you arrested. We now see them trying to arrest President Trump. We now see the total weaponization January 6th. There's been films and books written about your story when you blew the whistle and you exposed what was happening. But for folks that don't know, why don't you recap that story?
Well, I was arrested November 18th, 2011, at my house with no warrant, no anything. My house was searched. My husband was terrorized. Even a neighbor was terrorized, because in fact, we had the truth, and we had all the truth, and we would not stop talking. So I was arrested. I was held in jail in Ventura without any kind of warrant, on a bail hold. I couldn't bail out. What I was told to do over those 5 days in the suicide watch, where they essentially torture you and get you or your husband to get you to commit suicide, or see if they can get your husband scared enough. My husband actually ransomed me out of jail 5 years later by making a drop in the middle of the night, supposedly of the notebooks, the proof of all I was saying planted in my house. Well, we didn't even have to do that, because the FBI and the DOJ had all of this information, and we refused to shut up. We have all of this information in our lab. This is why I'm angry about Robert Redfield. He knew exactly what was going on, and he's one of the ones that set this up. So I would be arrested. Everything. I was fired September 29th, 2011. when we proved in a talk in Ottawa, Canada, that all of the viruses are in fact gain of function, that polio has been always caused by the polio vaccine, but it wasn't that polio virus. It wasn't that enterovirus. It was only that variant. So the CDC said, you can't call that polio. When kids were getting polio every year, they made us call it.
By the way, that's what they do now. They say we've eradicated polio, but it's a polio-like virus where they admit it's from the shot. That's ABC News, AP Today. They do it every few years. What's going on there? I mean, it's so obvious they're doing it.
But it was 2011. It was 2014. So what's going on there is they were getting caught by people like Bobby Kennedy, by the World Mercury Project, that before it was Children's Health Defense, by Informed Consent Action Network. You know, we went to Congress on March 31st, 2017. We, the doctors from every state, we sat in with Jason Chaffetz, in the head then of the House Ways and Means Committee, I think, Bobby Kennedy, me, Dell Bigtree, every single advocate, fighter who knew. We sat there. It's on our website today. We show you my talk at the press club, March 31st, 2017. They knew all of this. Everybody sat in the office and said, all the vaccines have always been causing this, and not a single safety study was done. Not one single safety study on any shot. They are all bioweapon warp speed, every single one since 1986. This is what the Informed Consent Action Network, Del Bigtree, Aaron Seary, the lawyers that fought tirelessly, who never stopped showing what these shots were doing to
derive. Well, let me ask you this. What is the end game? What's the larger operation? Clearly, world government respond to diseases they create, the social tracking systems, the cashless society. Why are they doing it?
Well, in right now, it's premeditated murder of all the people they injured so they can drive the new narrative. Yes, it's genocide. Reduce the population. They've told you. World control. You cremate everybody. You don't need to cremate anybody with an RNA virus, folks, because you don't make RNA after you're dead. That's molecular biology. It's not rocket science. It's molecular biology 101. No RNA virus survives without oxygen. It's the anaerobes that were causing the problem. The mycoplasma, the mold, TB. It never was HIV. That was my PhD thesis. Ozone therapies. All you're talking about. I want that toothpaste. Everything we're talking about. The fluoride, the poisons, the cyanide. You know, ivermectin with cyanide and fluoride is called remdesivir. It's new patents, new drugs. Just do the exact same thing. Look at the industry they created with HIV, your first gain of function study. And now it's kill everybody because we caught them, and we'll see those sequences if we don't cremate them. That's what Luc Montagnier said. He said, don't get the flu shot. The flu shot in 2019 caused 36% more likely to get a diagnosis.
By the way, for folks who don't know who Montagnier is, explain how prestigious these virologists are that are saying what you're saying.
Luc Montagnier got the Nobel Prize for the isolation of HIV, but that in fact was not what he isolated, and this is why people say he recants now. He isolated lymphadenopathy virus. It's called LAV. He associated it with gay-related immune deficiency, GRID. This was never, it was never HIV, and it was never AIDS. And this was my first run-in with Tony Fauci in 1980. When he tried to get that isolate and that paper that my mentor, Dr. Frank Rossetti, Dr. Luke, who had in our lab, we worked with Luc Montagnier, and we actually showed confirmed his work, isolating it from the same people, the same isolate. It never was HIV. So Tony Fauci got that virus. He and Bob Gallo did gain-of-function studies on it so they could get a patent. You know, they invented. It's not God allows us to discover. You know, the natural, Luc Montagnier discovered. They made gain of function. They made it something it wasn't. They spread it through a hepatitis B vaccine, which they forced everybody to get. Hepatitis A is an enterovirus, so you could start thinking about where we're going as we poison it. Any enterovirus that normally infects the gut will give you the opportunity to infect the brain, especially if you have those little bioweapons they have in those synthetic lipid nanoparticles, which is a virus. All you need to know is the synthetic viruses. You've injected the virus. You've allowed your own body to create your own viruses and spread them through your home family. And this is not just the COVID shot. This is every single shot for 40 years. The end game is to murder everybody, cover up your crimes, you know, silence, arrest, kill people like me who will not stop telling the truth.
And by the way, you're moving faster. Come back and explain this.
Our next report is General Flynn talking about what's going on the upper levels and what he was trying to do and what he did accomplish. And these two reports are probably some of the most important reports this weekend, the Mikovits, and then followed by the General Flynn. So these are a must listen to. I'll have the full reports up embedded on my site, thesecrettruth.com. But here we go with General Flynn.
Year 2023, I've been saying that it is going to have two transitions. One of those transitions is the financial transition of the global economic system. Okay, and I'll describe that here in a second. The second transition is the health system, the global health system. And Alex, in one of your in the break when you were talking about some of the things that and you were showing a clip of me there. Yeah, it's really, I'd been, you know, watching you off and on, but one of the things that I think it was like 2010, it may have even been before that, maybe 2007, where you were talking about, the health, the scares that they were bringing forward. And maybe at the time that we might have had some bird flu or some Ebola, but I think the intuition that you had then to talk about where we are now, was really prescient. I mean, it was really, really, talk about visionary and understanding what was possible by our own government. And frankly, the deep state is not just these unelected bureaucrats. I mean, we need to talk a little bit about that for your audience today, you know, who this deep state is. So we clearly define who the globalist elites are and where they exist on the planet, because it's not just in Washington, D.C. They're all over the world, and honestly, the big push behind all of this, Alex, and for your audience, is coming from the Chinese Communist Party. So there's no doubt about that. And I know what their 100 year plan is, which essentially started in 1949, and they're executing it, and they're actually speeding it up. That's number one. And then the other part of that is that this idea, this notion of unrestricted warfare. In 1998, 99 timeframe, I was in a military school at that time for 1 year, and I had the chance to meet the authors of the manual called Unrestricted Warfare, two Chinese colonels that came over to the United States of America on a bit of an exchange. And I sat in and listened to them speaking about how they were going to fight this thing they called Unrestricted Warfare, and it's their doctrine. People can go find it online. But before we go into some of that, at the very tail end of the video that you showed prior to me coming on, you showed a nuclear explosion. And one of the things that is, it is a major, it's a falsehood. And I want your entire audience and anybody that gets this piece of, that gets this clip to understand, there is no such thing as a tactical nuclear weapon. We will describe nuclear weapons and people will say it's a tactical nuclear weapon. We're going to use tactical nuclear weapons. There's no such thing. That explosion that you showed right prior to me coming on, there you go. That's the result of a tactical nuclear weapon, okay? So don't think for a second that a tactical nuclear weapon is only going to blow up the hillside of a mountain. We can do that with a lot of other munitions that we have. But when we start to use tactical nuclear weapons, which our administration has already talked about, and I actually think when I look back, if we really did the research, we were probably the ones first talking about the use of nuclear weapons and not necessarily the Russians, although now both sides are talking about the use of nuclear weapons. And what I want is I want the exposure, because the way we beat this globalist elite crowd, the way we beat the deep state is we continue to expose them. I mean, one of the beauties of InfoWars, and one of the greatness of your show and you in particular, and I get all kinds of grief for even saying that, Alex. But what the great thing is you expose things, good, bad, or ugly. You expose things, and that's how we bring evil out into the light. I want people to go read Executive Order 14067. Executive Order 14067, signed by Uncle Joe, the 8th of March of 2022, and it went into effect 13 December 2022. So just this past December, and there are already corporations and elements of our U.S. government that are already beta testing what's called central bank digital currency. Central bank digital currency. That's what that executive order is all about. Now, the central bank digital currency, there you go, and the central bank digital currency is already a global system. So it's already in effect, so to speak. The Chinese use it. They use this, you know, their yuan system. But this is a way to control whether or not you can spend the money that you actually earn. So, you know, and I'll just give a basic example of how far this could go. So you could go down to the gas station to fill up your car a second time in a month, and you go to you put your card into the gas pump there, and the gas pump comes back and says denied. And the reason it's denied is not because you don't have money in the bank, it's because this environmentalist crowd, this Nazi commune social, whatever, this, you know, and I say communist, and the hardcore of them are Marxists, and there are Marxists in
it's
the White
cult.
House.
It's a cult of
Marxists
power.
There are Marxists in the World Economic Forum. There are Marxists in the intelligence community, and there are Marxists in the Department of Defense and the Department of State, especially the Department of State. And one other element there, because I do want to maybe spend, you know, a few minutes talking about the Department of Justice or the Department of Injustice, however you want to call it. But this central bank digital currency, Alex, and I know you have spoken about this at times. Many others in the media, you know, I would say others who wouldn't touch this in the past are now starting to talk about this. The mainstream media is not talking about it. They won't talk about it, but because they're all in. But the other Fox, I think, you know, there's been one or two of the guests there that have talked about it. I know that Glenn Beck has talked about it, but only recently. And I would say Glenn probably in the last couple of months. This is something that I know you've been talking quite a bit about. And I know I've been talking about this for the last couple of years, because once you control the economic system, you know, the global economic system where now the U.S. currency is no longer the currency of choice for global trade around the world. Because right now, the U.S. currency is the currency of choice for global trade, and the English language is the language of choice for global trade. So that has been shifting. Now, how do we defeat it? Well, you know, what's going to have to happen? This is really to the people, right? Back to the people of not only your audience, but of this country. A couple of states right now are putting into bills, and I know that there's going to be at least one or two states that are going to have it as law, where they're not going to accept this form of currency. So the way to fight it back is expose it, understand it, make sure that we're talking about it, and make sure that we're talking about it with the right facts, the right formats, the right process, the right ideas. And then we have to talk about how do we stop it? How do we block and tackle? Because will it last forever? I don't know. I don't know how long we can last in this battle. But in this particular battle, we can block and tackle a lot by making sure that we push not only those in Washington, D.C., but I've said a lot of times, quit worrying about them if you can't worry about them. Worry about what you can do at your local level, and definitely worry about what you can do at your state level. So I know of a couple of states, Oklahoma is one of them, who has got a bill going into their governor. And once that happens, and it's going to happen here pretty soon because this transition is not going to happen on Monday. And that's my point about taking a deep breath. Not going to happen on Monday. This is going to happen over a period of time. They are trying to move it faster. Okay, they are trying to, and now I'm talking about the Chinese in coordination with the World Bank and in coordination with Klaus Schwab and team at the World Economic Forum.
And General, let's quantify that in layman's terms. I agree. There's a giant alliance of traitors in our government, the majority at the top, who are Chi-Com and want to end the dollar. They're using this bank fear, and they've said, and Biden on Wednesday put out his new plan for a central bank digital currency that removes the English language from the communication, which removes the dollar and makes it all digital, when right now communication's in English, which is a human intelligence program. What you're saying is very sophisticated. I don't want to be lost on people. We don't want them to stampede us with these bank runs into accepting the central bank digital currencies. We want to prosecute the people that actually did this and control the contagion.
Yeah. So, and now I'm speaking to the American people. So if the American people all of a sudden go on a bank run, then this government is going to turn right around and go, see, everybody's afraid, we have to transition. Okay? And this is what we're going to do, and here's our plan, and we've already got it in place. You know, it's just like COVID, folks. I mean, some of the patents for COVID were back in 2015. Some of the stuff that was developed in order to be ready when they wanted to use it, which was in early 2020, late 2019, early 2020, the patents for some of that stuff was back in 2015. You can't have a patent. Patent doesn't take, you know, it takes like 10 years to get a patent. They already had them. So now they already have this idea in place. I just mentioned the executive order. They're already doing some what we call beta testing. So if the American people can remain rock steady, and I mean remain rock steady, and place demands, be prepared, start placing demands. I'm going to tell you, if we start to raise our voices up and we raise them through shows like InfoWars, we raise them through some of these other people that are actually now getting it and now talking about it.
Those are two important reports that they're just a must listen to. Laura Ingraham did a report earlier in the week about TikTok. The CEO was called in before Congress to testify about TikTok, and he didn't really come off very well. And both sides, both the Democrats and Republicans, are not satisfied with his answers and are thinking very seriously about banning TikTok from our country. And I believe that we should just ban it. It's being a surveillance type of mechanism that the Red Chinese are using. So I'm in favor of just banning TikTok totally. But here's Laura Ingraham's report, which is excellent.
The TikTok party. That's the focus of tonight's angle. Well, Mr. China came to Washington today, and it was quite a spectacle.
We have heard important concerns about the potential for unwanted foreign access to U.S. data and potential manipulation of the TikTok U.S. ecosystem. Our approach has never been to dismiss or trivialize any of these concerns. We will firewall protected U.S. data from unwanted foreign access.
Can you do surveillance of other Americans?
We will protect the U.S. user data and fire it all from all unwanted foreign access. It's a commitment that we've given to the committee.
I wanted to hear you say with 100% certainty that neither ByteDance nor TikTok employees can target other Americans with similar surveillance techniques as you did with the journalist.
Again, I don't disagree with the characterization. I think it's our commitment that we will not be influenced by any government on these issues.
DOJ is investigating this surveillance right now. A ban is only a short-term way to address TikTok, and a data privacy bill is the only way to stop TikTok from ever happening again in the United States.
That your parent company, ByteDance, currently can access user data. Yes?
We have to be more specific.
Yes.
After you Project Texas, no.
I'm not asking after Project Texas. I'm asking now. Yes.
Some user data is public data, Congresswoman, which means everybody can search.
What's interesting to me is that you've used the word transparency over a half a dozen times in your opening testimony and subsequently again in your answers to my colleagues. Yet the interesting thing to me is that ByteDance, your parent company, has gone out of their way to hide an airbrush corporate structure, ties to the CCP.
That was wild. Now, it was back in July of 2020. I don't know if you remember this, but I pressed the former CIA director and then Trump Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, on the threat posed by TikTok. Shouldn't we be considering right now, tonight, a ban on Chinese social media apps, especially TikTok?
I don't want to get out in front of the president, but it's something we're looking at.
Would you recommend that people download that app on their phones tonight, tomorrow, anytime currently?
Only if you want your private information in the hands of the Chinese Communist Party.
Now, exactly 1 month after that interview aired, then-President Trump signed an executive order that would have essentially banned TikTok in the United States. But in June of 2021, Biden fully reversed the ban. Now, since then, the intel assessments about TikTok have only gotten worse.
1/6 of American youth say they're constantly on TikTok. That's a loaded gun.
So why hasn't Biden reversed course? First, because China owns Biden. Now, we know from Biden bank records that his family has made big money there. And Biden's team is doing everything in its power to suck up to China daily. At this point, there's literally nothing that the CCP can do that's going to push Biden off his super engagement mission. So why would Biden risk offending his benefactor over some stupid app? And the second reason the TikTok app is still in the Apple store is China's army of high-paid lobbyists, consultants, law firms, and even former congressmen, they're crawling all over Capitol Hill flexing their muscle, and they're making their case. Now, these people are what Trump was referring to when he said drain the swamp. They're fine with selling out their own country as long as that monthly retainer check doesn't bounce. And then there's the senior staff at TikTok itself. Now, they're even worse, refusing to answer simple questions about the persecution of religious minorities in China.
Do you agree that the Chinese government has persecuted the Uyghur population?
If you use our app and you open it, you will find our users who get all sorts of content.
That's not my question.
Well, it's deeply concerning to hear about all accounts of human rights abuse.
I think
what
you're
our platform
being
does on this.
It's a pretty easy question.
Congressman, I'm here to describe TikTok and what we do as a platform.
Well, indifference shared by folks like Michael Beckerman, TikTok's head of public policy. Now, you saw him sitting behind Mr. Chu today at the hearing with a very smug, self-satisfied look on his face. Well, here he was 3 months ago on CNN.
Do you acknowledge that the Chinese government has these Uyghurs and others in concentration camps?
Well, that's not something that I focus on.
You work for a Chinese government company, and the Chinese are accused of concentration camps and ethnic genocide.
You can find all this content on TikTok.
But why won't you acknowledge that? I mean,
I'm just not an expert on what's happening in China.
Pond scum. How is Beckerman different from any senior member of the Communist Party at this point on this issue? Look, he does their propagandizing for them. As long as ByteDance owns TikTok, the CCP has the ability to vacuum up as much information on users of TikTok as they want, contrary to what Mr. Chu was trying to argue today.
Do any ByteDance employees in China, including engineers, currently have access to U.S. data?
This is a complex topic. Today, all data is stored by default.
It's not that complex. Yes or no, do they have access to user data?
We have, after Project Texas is done, the answer is no. Today, there is still some data that we need to delete.
But we've heard already from the ranking member that he hasn't, and that he doesn't really see that Project Texas is going to be useful.
Well, this is ludicrous. At any time of day or night, now and a year from now, President Xi or any CCP official can demand user data. And he'll be given user data. In fact, even Chu couldn't deny that top staff at ByteDance are, in fact, members of the Communist Party.
Logic would tell us that there are a fair number of your employees who are members of the Chinese Communist Party, at least a dozen or so, who have access to this data. Isn't that so?
Again, like I said, I can ask one or two people. We don't have a policy to ask everybody.
So sleazy. Now, even though we knew that China was stealing user data, we've allowed TikTok's reach to metastasize. Now there are a staggering 150 million TikTok users in the United States. Mr. Chu was bragging about that today. So this begs the question, why did we even need a congressional hearing at this point? No matter what Chu says about corporate firewalls and transparency, he ultimately answers to the CCP. He slips up. And he knows that just like other CEOs, he could be disappeared overnight.
In principle, we want to provide, you know, a good experience for our users in general. We actually put in more restrictions to make sure that our teenagers get a better experience. The majority of people who use our platform use it for positive experiences. So many people love the app. It's a great experience.
Yeah, the Uyghurs are having a real positive experience. And when he didn't want to answer questions, he used a tried and true trick in response.
Would you commit to not selling your data to anyone?
I can get back to you on the details. Okay. I can get back to you on the specifics. Okay. I'll look into the specifics. I don't have specifics. Congressman, I need to check on these specifics. I need to look at the specifics of the report, okay. Congressman, and I can get back to you on that. Right. So I want to be precise, and I'll get back to you.
All day long, Mr. Chu labored to reassure the committee that TikTok is working hard on their new corporate plan to cordon off the operation from prying eyes.
We have designed Project Texas to protect U.S. user interests and to move forward here in the U.S. Again, it's the protections of storing American data on American soil by an American company looked after by American personnel.
Now, it's scrambling to stave off an all-out ban. So TikTok proposed a $1.5 billion corporate reorganization, kept referring to it, called Project Texas, very clever, insisting that all data would be stored in the U.S. And as he said, those servers would be run by Americans at Oracle. But just recently, after studying that very proposal, the Committee on Foreign Investment said that that proposal failed to address the data vulnerability issue. Only getting the company out of Chinese hands would address that problem.
China's 2017 national intelligence law states very clearly that, quote, any organization or citizen shall support, assist, and cooperate with state intelligence. In other words, ByteDance and also your TikTok employees that live in China, they must cooperate with Chinese intelligence whenever they are called upon. If the CCP tells ByteDance to turn over all data that TikTok has collected inside the U.S.
Congressman, first, I'm Singaporean.
That's fine, yeah. But there are employees of yours and ByteDance's in China.
We understand this concern. We built something where we take that data and put it out of reach.
Even Democrats didn't seem to be buying it today. That Mr. Chu was creepy, not credible.
I still believe that the Beijing communist government will still control and have the ability to influence what you do. And you're trying to give the impression that you're a good actor, but the commitments that we would seek to achieve those goals are not being made.
But throughout the day, and it was very long and getting hammered by both parties, the London and Harvard educated Mr. Chu kind of kept his cool. It was almost like he knew that in the end, Biden would never sign a bill banning TikTok into law. It was just a few weeks ago that the White House had come up with a middle ground suggesting that ByteDance sell TikTok. Then that would mollify concerns of both parties and Americans across the country. Well, so much for compromising with the Chinese. Today, just hours before that Hill hearing, China gave the symbolic middle finger to Biden, announcing that it was rejecting the idea of selling TikTok. Huh, I wonder why. Now, will the establishment ever learn that you cannot meet China halfway on any issue like this? Their aim is simple. It's to conquer the United States in any way they ultimately can, through influence, presence, what have you. And this would mean it would be fine for many in the regime media, by the way, who seem to have already given up on America. Check out how the New York Times characterized the question facing Washington about whether to ban TikTok. This was today. Some of the world's largest news organizations, including the New York Times, now have TikTok accounts, meaning that shutting down the app could appear to be shutting down the spread of fact-based news to counter Chinese disinfo. Well, first, that the New York Times will ever be a reliable counter to China is laughable. Plus, remember all their efforts to counter so-called COVID misinformation? Now, the only answer here is to force Biden's hand. Congress must immediately pass legislation to ban the TikTok app in the United States, long since time. Then Biden can choose to protect the priorities of the CCP or to protect national security and privacy concerns of the American people. The choice is quite simple, and that's the angle.
Boy, that Laura Ingraham, he's quite good. I'm not going to play it, but Pete Santilli had an excellent interview with Laura Loomer, And they're putting forth the idea that Ron DeSantis has been involved with like the Knights of Malta and other things, especially some of the secret societies back in Yale earlier on. And his involvement, he's only been able to, since he's been governor, to come clean with some of those things, but they're still back there in his history. So I won't get into them, but you can find some of those reports on the internet. Jay Dyer is coming up next with some information about the, you could say, the ET and the UFO phenomena and so forth. And he's coming forth with some ideas that some of it was invented and some of it's fake and so forth. There were two gentlemen. I'm going to come into my site and look for these books. There's a book written by two gentlemen that go back with extensive research on the Roswell crash. And that they have proved to me with their research and their interviews on radio programs that they are legitimate researchers, and there was a crash there of a UFO, and there were ETs recovered, real bodies. So this would go counter to somewhat what Jay Dyer is saying. Even though Jay Dyer does have a great amount of information from a lot of sources, and so the interesting going, and I'll put his I'll embed his report too from his site. So here we go with Jay Dyer talking about ETs and UFOs, going back to Hollywood and what they put in some of the movies and so forth. So here we go with Jay Dyer.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I don't know if we have that clip that I sent. I sent an NBC News clip. Do you guys have that? If you don't, that's okay. We can just keep going. Okay, can we go ahead and roll that NBC News clip? And you'll see this was about a week or two ago on mainstream nightly news.
On his side, Lester.
Andrew Mitchell, thanks. In 60 seconds, the new draft report on UFOs. The Pentagon's expert warning about a possible mothership coming close to Earth. Stay with us. It may sound straight out of a movie, but the Pentagon and a Harvard scientist have collaborated on a new draft report questioning if we're alone in the universe and whether we've already seen evidence of life beyond Earth. Here's Gadi Schwartz.
Move over Chinese spy balloon or whatever else U.S. fighter jet shot down last month. Tonight, out of Harvard University, a draft paper about mysterious flying objects sounding almost like science fiction.
I think it's very likely that we are not the most intelligent civilization that ever existed.
Renowned Harvard astronomer Avi Loeb, teaming up with the new head of the Pentagon's UFO office, dubbed the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Together, they say that interstellar objects detected in space could be signs of extraterrestrial life, and that current sky mapping technology, like the James Webb Space Telescope, could miss such objects.
It could have been a mothership that released some probes in the habitable.
All right, welcome back. There you see it. NBC Nightly News now implying maybe, sort of, perhaps there could have also kind of been a mothership, perhaps, maybe, but it was, but maybe, but not really. No, it's not P-Funk. It's not P-Funk, right? It's the mothership dropping them zap bombs. It's the real mothership. It's not even, I wish it was the P-Funk mothership, George Clinton and Bootsy Collins. That'd be a better alien invasion than this fake staged, fake and gray alien invasion. When we go back to the history again of the stories behind, the so-called documents, you have Project Blue Book, where I think it's the Air Force was investigating all of this, right, decades ago. Then you have Project MJ-12, right, which in my view was a made-up psyop to get everybody believing that there is this alien narrative. And if you watch the great documentary Mirage Men, I highly recommend watching that, because there's interviews in that famous documentary with Air Force counterintelligence people who were involved in crafting and creating fake and staged alien crashes, alien takeoffs at bases that they filmed on purpose to kind of put out there and dupe people. So it's an element of psyops. And so there's a whole documentary on this. Again, Mirage Men, famous documentary.
And in my view, that really lays out what's going on in this whole alien nonsense scenario, especially at the human level. Could there be some, I'm sure there are unexplained aerial phenomena, sure. But unexplained aerial phenomena does not translate into alien creators, alien panspermia stories of humans being seeded by aliens. And that's always where this goes. In fact, in Annie Jacobson's recent book, and of course we've mentioned her text for a long time. She has a famous book on Paperclip. She has a famous book on the stories of the history of DARPA. We've lectured through that text on my channel as well. So all of these, you know, there's a pattern that we see in her writings, which I think are really good. And that's, you know, she does touch on MKUltra when it comes up in Paperclip and in the DARPA book. And in those projects, we see studies into engineering and controlling belief systems. It's not just mind control. It's also belief control, worldview warfare. So the alien story and narrative is part of that warfare, part of that narrative. And in my view, my opinion, my analysis of this is that when we go back to the release of these documents and these projects back in the 40s and 50s, Blue Book, MJ-12, these so-called cover-ups, they really underlie the narrative that the intelligence apparatus or aspects of that apparatus have wanted for a long time, which is to create and control and steer a new mythos, a new narrative for the world to fit into the overall technocratic world agenda. Now, they may not go with the alien narrative. It may be at a point where, well, if enough people don't believe that or they think it's silly, they won't go with that. You know, we had, for example, 2016, the World Economic Forum's video that put out the 8 things to expect by 2030. One of those included the potential discovery of alien life, as well as, you know, you will eat nothing, you will own nothing, right? You will be happy. All of that was part of that 8-point plan projected by the WEF by 2030. And so they made it a point to mention the alien mythos and narrative. But again, just think again to the case. I think it was Betty and Barney Hill. It may have been Adamski, but one of the two cases, in fact, I'm going from memory, had the figure of none other than Alan Dulles. Yeah, it's always, by the way, these really blurry things. What year is this? Right? Is this 2003? Everybody is filming on a Verizon flip phone with 144 pixel definition. I mean, what? How come there's no like really good imagery of all these so-called alien objects? Now, there could be advanced technology that's used by the Pentagon, advanced drones, something like this, sure. But none of this necessarily translates into or equates to alien life from another planet. Maybe there is such a thing as that, but I've not seen anything that suggests that or proves that with any evidence. All I've ever seen is blurry videos, the stories of people that, again, have connections to the Pentagon, to, you know, the deep state, et cetera. There's always these shady intelligence people in the background, especially when it comes to these UFO groups like MUFON and NICAP. And, again, Alan Dulles, again, is one of these figures who steps to the fore to shut down, in the case, I think, of Betty and Barney Hill. It's either Betty and Barney Hill or George Adamski. Alan Dulles steps in to shut down the exposure and the information coming out about that being basically a giant fraud. Why would Alan Dulles care about some random UFO quack coming out and being exposed and their story being, you know, basically fraudulent? Well, it would matter if there's some, you know, connection to these agencies, and there absolutely is. And, you know, we look back to things like the aviary, right? Another one of these alien narrative connected things, and that's all a bunch of CIA black ops people. And this is what we constantly find is that element in the background of the alien narrative. And again, the same people now in the government that are telling you that, well, there may possibly perhaps be alien motherships. These are the same people that told you to get the COOF or to get the stabbies for the COOF. The same people that shut down the churches and locked down everything. The same people that like,
put your mask on, now take your mask off, now turn, now put it back on, I'm Fauci, put a little bit of flesh-eating disease on the face of a puppy dog.
That's who's now telling you that the aliens are out there. Consummate liars. WMDs. So why would we believe these people by anything? Much less this alien narrative. Now, again, I'm not denying the reality of spiritual entities, but there's absolutely no reason to think that visitors from other planets are the best explanation for this, or that they're extra biological entities. And now they switch from calling them UFOs to UAPs, which I guess, oh, that sounds a little more official. The Pentagon has put out a document on UAPs, right? Now, again, most likely a lot of this is just surveillance technology from foreign states, et cetera. Or it's deep state technology that's used to foster the alien mythos or narrative. Again, covering up, using this narrative as part of a cover up, as a shell narrative, a cloak for black ops and other kinds of things. And many, many people have come to that conclusion. You know, in my book, I wrote a significant section of about, I don't know, 80 pages in my first text devoted to this idea of H.G. Wells' science fiction propaganda and Spielberg's mythos. And there's a great quote by an analyst named Jeffrey Steinberg, and he said that Bertrand Russell's description of a scientific dictatorship was matched by the account of Aldous Huxley, the author of the utopian tract Brave New World. In a speech on the U.S. State Department's Voice of America in 1961, of a world of pharmacological manipulated slaves living in concentration camps of the mind through enhanced propaganda and psychotropic drugs, they learned to love their servitude and abandon all their will to resist. This, Aldous Huxley said, is what the final revolution is. So the final revolution, as we said, in these dystopian novels, especially in the figure of Aldous Huxley, is not something that's purely a narrative, purely a fantasy, a dystopian fantasy. It's actually a real plan. And the people in the circles of Huxley, the people that he knew, the Bertrand Russells, the Lord Birkenheads in his famous essay about the future dystopian, the Royal Society Fabian Socialists, Lord Milner, the individuals like George Bernard Shaw, individuals like Jacques Attali or Klaus Schwab today, all have that same plan and that same agenda, which is to erect this global network of technocratic control that supplants and overrides nation states. Nation states have to be undone, as she well says, because they're part of the old bourgeoisie narrative. They're part of that old way of doing things where people are divided on invented notions like class or identity. That has to be overcome through Marxist socialist praxis that's fostered by monopoly capital. And amazingly, H.G. Wells even says this. Wells famously says New World Order or Open Conspiracy, he says, all of you street-level Marxists, do not understand that there's not the engine and the power to put into reality this global socialist order without the use of monopoly capital's money. He says monopoly capital has this powerful engine, right, by pushing the notion of free enterprise. Now, there is such a thing as free enterprise, but I'm saying that monopoly capital isn't actually what free markets are, right? This idea of free transactions and whatnot, liberty in exchanges, commerce, but rather a top-down control mechanism that David Rockefeller and his family have described as their plan in David Rockefeller's memoirs. So this notion of a Marxist revolution funded by monopoly capital is championed by H.G. Wells himself. Excuse me, I got a drink of water. H.G. Wells notes that the power of monopoly capital is such that eventually they will hand over the world government that they've kind of built the infrastructure for to the real revolutionaries, the final revolutionaries. And I would add, too, that a lot of what helped build this idea and this structure was studying cults and studying alternative religious movements. And many, many cults, as you know, have the notion of exotheology or the notion of an external global threat behind them, such as, we think of Scientology, you think of the Raelians, all these different alien cults who have also always had these weird, shady intelligence background connections.